Beloved radio friends, we greet you heartily in the precious name of the Lord Jesus. It is with great joy that we have the privilege of continuing the study of God's precious word and the concluding portion of Galatians chapter 3. For we now reach the conclusion of Paul's great doctrinal thesis, where he contrasts the law of Moses with faith. He has clearly exalted the superiority of the gospel, proving that it can do all that the law can never do, and that is to justify a sinner. For the ground of God's justification in saving a hell-deserving sinner, and that is true of us all, his ground of justifying us is by faith alone, as we have noted in chapter 3 and verse 11. Where God declared, the just shall live by faith. In our preceding study, the closing words of verse 24 declared that the law clearly reveals that we need Christ. And why do we need him? The answer is this, that we might be justified by faith. From verse 25 of Galatians 3 to the end of the chapter, Paul now reasons with the Galatians, his own converts, telling them they are not under law, but that they are in Christ, since they have been justified by faith in Christ. Let us listen to his words as we read them. But after that faith is come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster, for ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. And if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed, and heirs according to the promise. Now please note very carefully what God says concerning all who have come by faith to Christ, whether they be Jewish believers, whether they be Gentile believers. After that faith is come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. Not even the Jews who had believed in Christ were any longer under the law. The moment they had Christ revealed to them and placed their faith in him, they passed from the dominion of the law, and they then owed their new subjection to Christ. For Christ became the master, and he is the master and the Lord of every Christian. And also let us rejoice in the new relationship that the gospel brings the believing sinner into with God. As Paul continues to write to his troubled converts in verse 26, for ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. You have been brought into this high and holy relationship, but not by the law, but by faith in Christ Jesus without the intervention of the law. Believing Jews and also believing Gentiles, they are all the sons of God by faith in Christ Jesus. All of them are God's children. Paul continues to declare, for as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ, as he writes in verse 27. My radio friend, my fellow believer, do you not know what your baptism means? That is what Paul is asking. What does a person confess when he or she is baptized? He or she confesses that they belong to a Savior who died, but who also rose again. For in Romans chapter 6, Paul wrote, as many of us as were baptized unto Jesus Christ were baptized unto his death. Now, if I am identified as a believer with Christ in his death, how then can I be under the law anymore? For the law condemned me to death. Christ paid the penalty of that law for me. Death. I believed it. I confessed it at my baptism. Then I am dead to the law. May I ask a question? Was Christ under the law after he rose from the dead? Oh, you say, how could he be? Right, he absolutely not. Now, the same fact is true of the Christian. Now, listen to verse 27 again. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. He does not say you put on the law. I do not need the law. I have Christ. I belong to him. I am not to do as I please. I am to please him. I am alive unto God now. I am in a complete new condition. I am in Christ. Note what Paul continues to state in verse 28. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For ye are all one in Christ Jesus. Now let us be very careful to note the meaning of this. By nature, I may still be a Jew, or I may still be a Gentile. I may even still be a slave, or I may be a free man. I may be male, or I may be female. But these natural distinctions, they are not to distinguish me now. You ask why? Though while I am on earth, these distinctions certainly may remain. Yet when I am in Christ, I am not to think of myself as being a Jew, nor as being a Gentile, nor as being a slave, nor as being a free man, nor as being a man or a woman. Now listen. Whatever I may be by nature, now that I am Christ, I am to remember that I am a Christian. My beloved, I wonder if we get the meaning of that word Christian, that blessed name. For what is to distinguish me now? It is this. I have Christ. And I have put on Christ. Yes, by nature, I may still have my former relationships. But by God's grace, when I trusted Christ through faith, I passed into a wholly new condition. I am in Christ. I am a Christian. And this is true of everyone who has trusted the Savior. Please note the closing part of this 28th verse. As Paul says, or verse 27 rather, Paul says, or verse 28, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. How could it ever read that the Christians are all one in the law? The Christian's new condition is now a relationship with a Savior who is risen from the dead, who paid the penalty of the law, who in the sentence of the law tasted death for those who believe upon him as their Savior. He was buried, but he rose again and risen from the dead. He, that risen Savior, is the Christian's life. He is the Christian's Lord. He is the Christian's Master. And it is the responsibility of the Christian to walk and to live as a person that is united to Christ in heaven above, a risen Savior. Well did the poet write, I serve a risen Savior, and thank God he lives. Now the apostle closes his exegesis in verse 29, the closing verse of the chapter, and says, and if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed, and heirs according to the promise. My beloved, the Gentile believer has nothing to do with the law as a means of blessing from God. Again, we would repeat, let us not forget it. The law is a weapon properly used against all the ungodly. But he that is in Christ is done with the law. He has definitely emerged out of it all. And death, that identification of his and her death with Christ, who died to pay the penalty of that broken law for the believer. The believer is now through with the law. He is in Christ. And he is an heir to all that Christ gives, according to the promises of God. And when I have Christ, I therefore am heir to all the promises of God. Please note these words. We quote them again from the context of this scripture. For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. My beloved, the law could never make me a child of God. The law could never make you a child of God. But thank God, through faith in Christ Jesus, every believer, whether Jew or Gentile, whether bond or free, whether male or female, we are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. Precious are the words of the hymn writer as I now quote them. Children of God, O glorious calling, surely His grace will keep us from falling, passing from death to life it is called, blessed salvation, once for all. Once for all, O sinner, receive it. Once for all, radio friend, believe it. Cling to the cross, your burden will fall. Christ hath redeemed us, once for all. My radio friend, I want to ask you a simple question in closing. Are you climbing up Mount Sinai? Please get away from it. There is another mountain where you will find life. Mount Calvary. Turn from Mount Sinai where the law was given. Go to Mount Calvary and fall at the foot of the cross and believe the Savior, the Son of God, died to redeem you and bore the curse of the law to deliver you from its penalty. Oh, blessed Father, may Calvary with all of its joy and blessing be received into some heart by faith today in Jesus' name. Amen.